hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads. Where bandits are catacombs and giant doors. Protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's horse. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls. Simon's quest with Toe and Earl. Rocket shoes to Everclue. Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, wherever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Head on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. Drop us a line. Let us know you're live. ControlIssuesPod@gmail.com. Hit us up on Blue Sky, Control Issues Pod. And is there anything else? I don't think so. Give us some spins on Spotify if you happen to utilize that for your consumption. AMC, how you living?
Well, A-Dub, back-to-back weeks.
That's right.
Got some news this week, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, last week we're talking about rumors that became true.
Yes.
And other stuff to try to fill in that, try to pad out that news from last week. And it worked out because things ended up, as I said, the worst thing I hate is talking about a rumor and then developing all these opinions and then the rumor not coming true at all. Mm-hmm. It's just wasted brain time. But yeah. All those things came true, so nice to see that. But we are back with a ton of news this week. As far as my life is personally going, not much really changed from week to week. I haven't watched late night talk shows in a while, A-Dub. Mm-hmm. But I had a reason this week. Actually, I was watching some Kimmel. Wanted to see how he returned to the airways, what he had to say. He kept it classy, though. He didn't still bring in the humor, but he didn't just come out just talking shit. I'd maybe hoped he would, but he kept it classy. And then, you know, he kept it going at the president, kept poking fun. So he's still doing his thing. I enjoying it, actually. I actually started a new routine now from it because I have a YouTube TV. So I just set it up to record that first episode and the first episode when Kimmel returned, and it's still recording. So then I got into the habit of in the mornings as part of my morning routine while brushing my teeth and shit, just putting on the opening monologue and watching that as I get ready in the morning, just getting some laughs. So I guess it is true. It's like if you try to make a martyr out of somebody, you end up just elevating their status. And that's exactly what happened because I would have never personally been interested in watching a late night talk show, but now I am. So yeah, more power to him. Keep doing your damn thing. Outside of that, watching some Solo Leveling. Yes. Finish season two.
Yes, what do you think?
It was good. To be honest, I think I'm done with Solo Leveling after season two. I enjoyed it, but there was a point where, so here's my thing. I wasn't a fan of One Punch Man, and there's a little bit of like protagonist being OP in Solo Leveling, especially towards the end of season two, where, so the thing that bothered me was they spent a lot of time building up these S ranks and making them badasses.
Yeah.
And you finally get to see them in season two, kind of like when they have that training session where they join up with Japan. This is all spoiler territory if you haven't watched it, so you can skip ahead. But yeah, they have the training session with Japan and they establish like, okay, they're badasses, but they're a degree of badasses amongst the S ranks. And they set up this dude like Goto to be like kind of like the badasses of the badasses in the S ranks. And well, they've been building up this enemy, the ants. And then by the time we get to them going to Jeju Islands, we got the King Ant. And
yes,
the King Ant just makes short work of everybody. Just completely makes all the S ranks look like cannon fodder. And then your boy Jinwoo steps in and it just handles business like it's
Oh, like a child.
yeah, exactly. And then there's a part of me that was just like, then why build them up just to make them cannon fodder? Who knows? Maybe by season three they'll come back stronger. But yeah, I didn't like that. It rubbed me the wrong way. Like I, especially being a fan of My Hero Academia, where like they introduce like Deku gets All Might's abilities, but you also know that he has a ways to go before he can really gain full control over All for One or One for All. And also at the same time, they're introducing all these teachers and all these side characters. And what I really liked about My Hero Academia is, one, all the teachers, they're badasses. And then there's the hero ranks, and they're all badasses. Like Endeavor holds it down when he goes up against Eyeless One for All for One. Yeah, and like deck yeah, as I said, there's the natural progression, but everybody kind of gets their moment. Like I like how like Todoroki has to take down was it
Toya.
Toya, yeah. And like, you know, Uravity has her moment, and then even the side homies with what is it, the damn, I can't remember all the names, but the dude with the dark bird, like he has his moment
Oh,
with
Dark Shadow.
yeah, Dark Shadow has his moment with All for One, with just raining down those blows. And
Yep.
so like what I like is that they do a good job of building up the characters and making them strong in their own way. And I just felt like with Solo Leveling, everything is in service of the protagonist. And by
Yep.
season two, he is already the most powerful the S ranks, like just beyond them. And so I know that there's gonna be stronger enemies coming, but yeah, it like a part of me is like I was kind of getting like a little bit like where's the challenge? Like where's the challenge coming from? If that king, I thought that King Ant was about to just like handle business moving forward, and yeah, he's now a minion. And so yeah, I was a little like disappointed in that. Like I just didn't really feel like the challenge was there. And so we'll see. I'll definitely hear from you when season three comes around. But the beautiful thing is there are plenty of other shows. I got Demon Slayer to hop into. I still haven't watched last
Yes.
season, and then the show that you've been recommending. I've heard a lot of people talking about it, Kaiju number 8. So I got to watch that. So there's
Yes.
plenty of other options to hop into. But yeah, I enjoyed Solo Leveling. Just I didn't like the trajectory of where season two was going. And there's a like you know I just go to that thing of like, am I going to give it another chance for another season? But I'll wait for word of mouth and then I'll choose from there. But that's about all I have going for myself. A Dub, how has your week been?
My week has not been too bad, staying consistent with the boxing. So that's a big deal for me. Also went and saw the Demon Slayer movie.
Yes.
Later, I had that heart out last week. And, I'm sorry. I wish I could have stayed longer to continue chatting, but you make plans. You got to live life. You got to get outside. So yeah, the Demon Slayer movie, I was having it. It kind of left on a major cliffhanger, and then that's when the person I was with was saying that it's going to be three movies to finish out Demon Slayer. So this is the first one. There's another one coming in 27, and I think another one coming in like 30 or 29 or something like that.
Damn. And if
Yeah.
this one was as popular as everybody said it was, like that means it's gonna be making some money.
Oh, it was outstanding. I didn't expect it to take like I'm trying not to be too spoilery for anybody who wants to see it, but basically it goes off on this whole story, and it's like it's a dope story. I just don't see where that came from and why it's like closing out the whole shit, but it was a dope movie. It was The animation is excellent, character development is excellent. Like it's Demon Slayer through and through. It's just a movie.
Were
And
there, hold on, real quick, were there cosplayers in the theater? Like, what was the atmosphere like at the movie theater?
Honestly, I didn't even notice anybody else.
Okay.
It was a lot of people there, don't get me wrong, but it was just regular folk. It wasn't some cosplaying type thing. I didn't see one person in a costume in a whole movie.
Yeah. Okay.
I was at the Grove, man. I don't think do they do that? The Grove of all places.
I didn't even know if like how many theaters were carrying the movie, like if it's like at that level or if it's still like kind of like in select theaters type situation.
I
Like if you
imagine
saw it at
it.
the Grove, that's big time right there.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that it was probably crazy on opening night, maybe,
Yeah.
but going to see it on a Sunday in the middle of the evening or the early evening, I don't think it was that big of a deal. But yeah, went to the movie, had a nice dinner, and yeah, just chilling. Let me see what else I've been watching. Kaiju Number 8, Rising of the Shield Heroes, just staying on top of my episodes. There was something that I neglected to mention that I wanted to mention. I just forgot. And I keep forgetting to write it down. So whatever. It may come back to me one of these days. But yeah, man, it's just chilling. It's starting to cool off a little bit. So, not running the AC every day, all hours of the day. That's very pleasant. Starting to feel a little loose in these clothes, starting to size up some of the lower size stuff that I have, trying to look through my wardrobe again, see if I can get back at some stuff. So, just making slow incremental progress. My plants are greener, growing stronger. So I'm making a lot of strong steps in the right direction.
All right, well, how's that video gaming been?
Video gaming is the best that it has ever been, my friend. I believe last time we spoke, I told you that my brother and I completed the campaign for Borderlands 4 with our first characters. Been working to push my Vex up through the Ultimate Vault Hunter ranks. I'm an Ultimate Vault Hunter 3, and the maximum ranks are 5 at this point in time. Like, my brother and I were just cutting through stuff, refining our builds, finding new weapons, like seeing which legendaries and abilities and weapon parts go best together to continue to squeeze just absurd amounts of power out of these characters. Got the, what is that, the specialization ranks going, which is like a refined version or a revamped version of the Guardian ranks from Borderlands 3. So, you're Paragon levels, and you just keep putting points in there and unlocking perks and unlocking perk slots so that you can equip those abilities. And it's another grind. It's another chase mechanic. It continues to reward you with like power and survivability that you wouldn't have had otherwise. And I dig that. Borderlands also got a major performance patch recently, and I can't speak for other platforms, but on PS5 Pro, it seems like they almost entirely knocked out whatever issue was happening. I play for multiple hours at a time. I think when the patch came out, I played for like a solid 5 hours. Not a single frame rate dip, like no texture, not waiting for any textures to load. So my gun doesn't look like just an amorphous blob for a couple of minutes.
I
And
was hearing people saying like this game need to be delayed for like 3 months.
no, 2 weeks. They knocked out a huge chunk of the problem in 2 weeks. I imagine people are still having issues on PC
On
because
PC.
that's just the nature of the beast. Apparently, the advice from Gearbox, aka Randy Pitchford, is to, I think, what, delete your shader cache and let your shaders recompile. And that's going to take some time. But, don't quote me on that. I'm not reading from a source or
You
anything,
didn't
but
update your drivers.
no, I'm on that pro. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works. But insofar as my experience, yeah, like, just single player, it's running buttery smooth. Like, no matter what action is on screen, no matter how long I've been playing, I don't have to bounce out and use the workaround or reload my campaign or anything. Co-op, it started off a little choppy, but it ended up smoothing itself out over time, like a matter of minutes. I would say, I don't know if perhaps it was where we were geographically in the game, or just if there was a whole bunch of stuff going on, but right after that, it smoothed out. We were going all over the place. We're having a blast. So Borderlands 4 is in a very good place right now. It's in a place that took Borderlands 3 a good amount of time longer to reach. So, if you were on the fence about it, if you were trying to wait out the performance issues, I think this would be a good time to pull the trigger. And I just enjoy the hell out of that game, man. Just the seamless exploration of it all. Like, get a mission, figure out where you need to go, jump off the cliff, glide to the ground, summon the bike, boosting, driving past enemies. Oh, there's a world boss. Go take that out. Oh, there go some big enemies and a chest that's locked. Let's take that out. Let's get that chest. Let's go to the lost loot machine. Let's take out these, I don't even know what they are, these vile bounties and things of that nature. It's just like, it's so much stuff to do, so many opportunities for great loot. You can always go and farm bosses. The patch also responded to the community request for an FOV slider on console. So now we have that functionality. A lot of the user interface stuff was ironed out. Like, it's Borderlands is tightening up. It's tightening up very fast, and the fantastic game that is, competing with these issues has less to contend with now. Get into it if you want to get into it. Other than that, I finally made the tough decision, and I decided I was just going to get a little taste of Hollow Knight Silksong. And just as I expected, once I got my hands on it and I started digging into it, man, I'm not going to stop playing this game at all. I'll probably be splitting time between Borderlands and Hollow Knight, but Silksong is just such a phenomenal game. Like, I can tell in the handful of hours I played, I think I'm coming up on my first 10 hours with it. I've thoroughly explored a handful of regions. I've gotten some upgrades, some abilities. Like, I got my sprint, my dash, my air dash. I'm figuring out the nuance of what I can hit and how it reacts to being hit. I'm learning about the hazards and things. And oh man, it's like Hornet is so much swifter and controls so much tighter in the original Hollow Knight. And maybe it's because I have a much better TV now, but like the visuals are just so clear and vivid and large. It's such a joy to work through the music, the made up language that they speak between the cycle of word bubbles. And man, that combat is just second to none. Like, there's a couple of basic enemies. I want to call them basic, but it's like they're fire ants, but they're bipedal, and they fight with their front arms, and one of them throws coins and digs in the ground to like move from side to side. Another one has like a big bone sword and bone armor on, and they have combos, and see, they have moves and stuff. So you're not just it's not just like, all right, does that hit him? Here he comes. Does that hit him? It's like, oh, he's doing this. Jump, hit him on the head, bounce, wait, facing that way, hit him in the back, dash backwards, dash underneath him. Like, it's, oh my, it's choreography, dude. It's just so stunning to watch. It feels great to control. Like, the amount of art that they put in this game, it seems like everything is in motion. Everything has like a reaction or something. There's very little you're going to be dealing with that you can't like hit with your sword. Or it's like, even when you're sprinting with the character, if you sprint into a wall, she'll like bounce off of it. Like, ah. I just think all these little details just continue to add up to this experience that's second to none. Like, it's such a stiff challenge of a game. It's like you're fighting for every step that you're taking, and that's the kind of experience that I enjoy. And just with Hornet's moveset and animations, there's just so much expression and just variety to what you're able to do. So I'm having a blast with it. I'm moving. It's looking like I'm gonna have to go in this region called Hunter's March, and that's where like the ant warriors are that I described earlier. It's hard enough just fighting two of them every now and then, but just a whole region full of them, I gotta figure out how to make it work. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back into that as soon as possible. And yeah, man, I got a thick backlog, and I don't know what I'm gonna do with it. But in the meantime, I got Borderlands 4, I got Silksong, and that is good enough. But AMC, what have you been playing?
Playing two games, First one I'll start off with is Overwatch. Put some more work in at this week. Just
Yes.
still debating on which Persona character I'm going to get. While I'm debating on that, just putting in some hours. What I've enjoyed is the past couple weeks I've played Overwatch. It's been a matter of just switching between characters and enjoying playing with that character. So I always start out with like, oh, I want to play with like this. Like this week, I come in. Oh, I want to play with Wu Yang and Ilari, carry over from
Yes.
last week, and then. Next thing you know, I'm back on Mercy again, playing with Mercy. And in one match, somebody picked Mercy. So I was like, I need to pick another character. And I just saw Zenyatta and I was like, I haven't played with Zenyatta in a minute. Let me try out Zenyatta. Immediately just handling business. Like, cause I'm just thinking about like, okay, like what's the positioning with Zenyatta? How do I want to play this character? He doesn't have the reason why I didn't play Zenyatta really is that he doesn't have an escape ability. But the thing with him is his escape is his offense. It's he has powerful ass attack, and if he lands the shots, it does a lot of damage. And so I was like, all right, just don't get in the middle of the fray, kind of stay off like off to the side, but then sit in that orb of discord, put the healing orb on somebody who needs it, and then just send in those orbs to just start doing a ton of damage on enemies where they can't see you, or they would have to break away from the melee. And so as I was doing now, I just notice I'm just dropping dudes left and right. And especially with that orb of discord, the one that that adds a lot more damage to the enemy. Like if you pick
Yes.
the right person, it's they just automatically become like fearful because they're in a one-on-one fight. And all of a sudden, this orb just gets put on them while they're fighting another character. And then I'm focusing then my attack on them while the other character they were fighting with continues doing their thing. And it just throws off, immediately just turns the tide of that one-on-one encounter. And so I noticed that like I can just affect these little situations a lot more because you're making them all weaker. And then you're also on that, on top of that, throwing in some damage. One of the things I always said that I prefer about like certain support characters is when they can damage while healing. The thing with Mercy is, if you're healing them, that means you have to have the healing staff on them, and that means you don't have the gun going. Try to think of like other characters. You Baptiste, you can kind of heal while shooting, but it's not ideal. And thinking about another character, maybe Juno. Not sure. Yeah, but Juno, you have to shoot. So you either shoot your teammates. Or you're shooting the enemy, but it's not like you can shoot through your teammates to hit the enemy. So once again, it's you can't attack while healing at the same time. And so with what I like about Zenyatta is you throw out that healing orb and it's kind of like a set it and forget it situation. You throw it out,
Yes.
healing the other dude, you throw out that discord, and then you can freely just focus on whoever you want to attack. And then even and then when there were the times that there was like a Tracer who came into the back line, it's just my aim now has gotten a lot better from where I was like when I was playing the game earlier, that if I just land a couple shots on a Tracer, she's down past her past the half point in her health. So then she's either looking for health or she's now what is it retranslating like was rewinding back to when she had health, but it throws off like Tracer's entire like I guess a plan of attack once you can focus your attack on her. And it's often from behind. So right when she comes from behind, turn around, throw that orb of discord on a Tracer, land one shot, and then she's fucked up already. And then if I land another shot, she's down. So it's I'm just loving Zenyatta. So I put in some hours of Zenyatta this week, and it was fantastic. I was actually getting more wins like consistently, which is I don't know if it was just giving me a better algorithm of teammates to team up with, but I just noticed that it was immediately making an impact. So really enjoying Zenyatta. We'll see where we're at next week, and we'll see what Persona skin I walk away with because I think there's only 2 days left, so I really have to pick out one soon. Then the other thing that I've been playing is Zelda. Not much more to say there. Just a lot of exploration. I'm loving how they handle their mission, like especially the side quests, because in a lot of games, like side quests can be kind of a thing. You just do it and you get some coins, and the reward isn't that great, but it is helpful. Where in this one, I'm liking the progression at least of some of the side quests. Like one, I'm out exploring in the snow, like in the mountaintops, the snow area, and I see a campfire off in the distance. I'm like, oh, well, like campfire. Let's see what's going on there. Probably a person there to talk to. So I make my way over, just gliding over, and get to the campsite. There's obviously a person there, and it's like, oh, I set out this fire because I lost somebody, and I'm hoping that they can find their way back to it, but maybe they can't see it. So immediately, that's a clue. Like, oh, they're probably in a fucking cave. So I search around the area. I find the cave. Make my way into the cave. I have to knock down some of the wall, like break through it, and then I find the person who's in the cave. And then the person's like, "Oh, I've been stuck in here. Thank you for helping me get out. I can now go back. You can find me. I don't have a reward for you, but I'm gonna be at this lodge in this area in Hebra. If you find me there, then I can give you a reward then." It's like, bet. So the side quest continues. I make my way over to that lodge where they're at, find them, and I find out that that person is a professional shield surfer. does like downhill seal surfing, which I didn't even realize was the thing in the game. So then I'm like, okay, cool. And she's like, I can train you on it if you want. Like, you should do some courses. So I do that. Next thing you know, I'm shield surfing, which is it's pretty cool. It's like a mechanic that's actually in the game outside of this event that you do, where it's like you hold out the shield, you got to jump, and you hit another button, and then you can ride on top of your shield on if you're on a slope. So
Not the
did that.
Hylian crest. God damn.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it's you get like different, like in different shields, I guess, work better for surfing on. So it was pretty cool. Just did all that just from a random side quest. Continue exploring. I'm out of nowhere. I just see off in the distance like this golden horse. I'm like, oh shit, there's a golden horse. It looks a little different from all these other horses I've been finding. I gotta get me that horse. I creep up on the horse, tame it, immediately ride it to a stable because I'm like, I'm about to board this shit and make it mine. And I get to the stable and the person's like, oh, that's Princess Zelda's horse. And actually, there's a person that was looking for it. And so I go up to them. And what I like in this is that it didn't give me the rigmarole of like, oh, you did a side quest before the side quest was given to you. So now we're gonna act like we didn't give you the side quest. And then we'll acknowledge it after we give you the whole rigmarole before it. Like what it ended up doing was I walk up to the person and they're like, oh, like I've been looking for my horse. And then the two characters just look at me and they're like, oh, you have the horse. And then the other character happens to just be my homie that's talking to the person that needed Zelda's horse. And he's like, I'm out here reporting for these horses and you just walk up without even knowing about it with the thing that I needed. So it kind of even acknowledged the fact that I didn't kick off the side quest before actually doing everything that was needed for it to then bring it back. And so that I thought that was pretty cool. I ended up getting to keep the horse, and now I got Zelda's golden horse on me, and obviously it's got the higher stats. So did that, left off there, unlocked some story content, which I'm enjoying. And yeah, just pushing forward, exploring the game, just really uncovering some of the map and getting these sage abilities, because there was a period of time where I was just searching caves and getting those rewards. And I realized, like, you know what? These sage abilities seem to be adding like some added traversal benefits. So let me just get these sage abilities and then I'll be able to uncover the map a lot faster through that. And so been pushing some more of the main quest, but just loving Zelda. It's an awesome game, great exploration, a lot of reward for exploring, and just good, interesting characters all around. That's all I got there for me, A Dub. Let's take a break and we will come back with a healthy dosing of topics of the week.
Well, before we go,
Oh, yes.
I just thought it was interesting to note that like this is the first time we're not talking about the new season of Diablo 4.
I know, right? There's
Yeah,
just,
like it's been out.
yeah, like there's, yeah, there's just, I think you sent me there doing like a StarCraft
Yeah,
crossover. Like it's,
I haven't even touched it, man.
yeah, it's. There's so much to play right now. And the beautiful thing though is once we play all these other games, Diablo will still be there and probably pumping out new seasons.
Getting better.
So yeah, just getting better. Maybe get the expansion eventually at some time next year. So I mean, it's beautiful. There's so many games, A-Dub, and I'm definitely not complaining. You'll be going back to Hell Is Us eventually.
Yes.
It's insane. It's insane. But yeah, we'll come back with our topics of the week.
Topics of the
Of the
week.
week. All right, we are back. A Dub, you want to break us off with that first topic of the week?
Topic of the week, I shall MC. because we got treated to some goodness. Amongst all the other things that we're going to be covering today, we're going to lead off with the Sony State of Play for September
Play, play,
2025.
play.
That's right. Playing all day, every day. And you know how we do with the showcases. We're just going to illuminate the things that most caught our attention. You see, first, I'm going to lead off, and I'm going to lead off with what is more than likely going to be my game of the year of 2026. I'm planting that flag now. If you got problems with it, you could drop me a line at controlissuespod@gmail.com, and I'll tell you how wrong you are. Saros, we finally got to see a gameplay just deep dive with that game, and all I gotta say is Returnal by any other name is just as sweet, because they made it quite clear that, and they being Housemarque, they made it quite clear that Saros is basically, it's building upon what they put together with Returnal. I don't know if they're like in the same universe or sharing the same story. However, they're sharing the same gameplay mechanics, and Saros just seems to take everything to the next level. Like you still got your dash, you're still using that mechanic to get through enemy attacks, but it seems like enemies are more close quarters and the spaces are tighter. So you're not, giving them the run around like you would in Returnal. Like you're kind of in their face this time. So not only do you have the invulnerability dash, but now you also have a full body shield that protects you from any incoming attacks. And at the same token, when that shield is getting hit with damage, it's charging up your secondary firing mode, as you know how Returnal works. And yeah, you use the adaptive trigger, you get that going, and you just unload that devastation. It looks absolutely stunning. It has that fast pace intensity going on. That action just looks buttery smooth. It just, oh man, so good. So good. I mean, I can't say enough about Saros, and all of it is based on it being like a spiritual successor to Returnal. However, I'm going to kick it over to the AMC to get his impressions when he saw that Saros gameplay.
Yeah, it looked dope. And it did look like, as a person who didn't play Returnal but watched some gameplay of Returnal, it did look like the natural progression of what that game was, that especially what everybody liked most about, like the bullet hell aspects and just the focus on action gameplay from like a shooter, as opposed to like, like more plotting, which you would think about like shooters can be when it comes to like especially like third person, like the idea of like you moving pretty quickly and just a ton of hell being rained down upon you and needing to survive. But what I liked about this one was the shield. The shield was a big one. Just aesthetically, just seeing you throw up a shield and like that damage is about to come and you throw it up, you absorb some of the damage. And I believe it said that the damage that the shield absorbs goes into like a heavy attack. So if that is the case, like knowing that that is a gameplay mechanic, not just a defensive mechanic, but can be used as a potential offensive mechanic, I like that. And just the movement, like as you talked about earlier with Silksong, like just like that constant movement and dashing and getting around. I like that in this one, it's like there was a lot of dashing and like you're by inches like dodging some of these bullets, but it's just enough and you're getting off your shots at the same time. So it's a different style of like I guess third person shooting boss battles and I guess like just mini boss battles, but it looked like it was fun, and that's exactly what I want. There seems to be like some story there. It seems like everything that I would want from this type of experience, of a natural, of a spiritual successor, I guess, to Returnal. So I think this is, if anything, if we looked at Returnal being Housemarque, like stepping up to a triple A quality type of game, this is just another evolution of that. I feel like this was one of those ones where I was like, damn, like if Housemarque like just takes this and does like a dope story, this game could be super impressive and potentially game of the year.
At
And
least in my heart.
yeah, exactly. I mean, because GTA will be coming out next year and so
Yes.
many other games, and just the way things are going this year, if just that this if this year's level of development and just production of games is just carries over into next year with GTA on top of all that, it's gonna be absolutely out of control. And so yeah, it's this game looks like it has everything that I want in being that I passed up on Returnal. This looks like one of those ones that like, oh, I could definitely see myself for sure getting this one. And so that just shows the improvement there for appealing to maybe an even broader audience while still staying true to what you do in your games. And so yeah, Housemarque brought it with this one. I'm pleasantly surprised, and it's definitely one of those ones that I'm like penciling in as a game that I want to play for next year.
Yeah, and it seems to address some issues people were having with Returnal. Like one is that shield that we talk about, where now you have an active defense against what's going on when you're fighting these enemies, but you also have that second chance where you get to revive on your first death. So, hey, maybe things aren't going your way. You get brought down, you get that second chance revive, get that little reset, and you keep moving, come back stronger, as they say. Saros. Release date March 20th, 2026. AW will be there day one. If they offer any kind of early access, I'm paying for it. I do not care. So yeah, AMC, what caught your eye at the showcase?
This wasn't a new game, but it was an offering that caught my eye. That being October's PlayStation Plus announcements for PlayStation for PSN, and that being let's see, we got three games coming as per usual, headlined by Remedy's Alan Wake 2. We also
Damn.
got Cocoon, and we got that Goat Simulator. I think didn't say the number, but I think it was Goat Simulator 3.
Go Sim 3, yeah.
Yeah, so the people who think Goat Simulator is this shit, you got more of that. But for me, yeah, Alan Wake 2, that's a big one. Heard so much about this game, and I believe I already got Dan, I'm like just not coming up with names this week, but I got the game before that, the one where you're using your telekinesis to move shit around and try to
Control.
move it. Yeah, I didn't get control. I got control through PS Plus also. So slowly, maybe they gave me Alan Wake 1. I should double check to see if they put that remaster on there. But yeah, just I now have all these Remedy games that are just all-time classics, just available to play. And so seeing that Alan Wake 2 was on there and hearing so much about it, it's slowly getting that urge going for me to hop in there. How about yourself? Did you play Alan Wake 2? Did you already own it? What do you think about this offering for October?
Alan Wake 2 was just sitting comfortably on my wish list. I want to get through the Alan Wake remake before I get into it. So I'm kind of conflicted with this month's offerings, or at least October offerings that we'll be able to download in a few days. Because on the one hand, it's awesome, and there's no reason why I shouldn't pick up, especially Alan Wake 2 and Cocoon. But I just feel like I've wanted those games for a long time, and it would be kind of rude to not purchase them. So I think this will be the one time where I don't download the PS Plus games, except Goat Simulator 3. I'm adding that to my library. But yeah, I'm gonna purchase Cocoon and Alan Wake 2, because I've heard fantastic things about Cocoon. Alan Wake 2, I already know that's a sure bet. And yeah, man, those developers deserve it. Like, maybe if they were bigger, more successful games, then maybe I wouldn't have that internal conflict about it. But especially with Remedy, it's they make these outstanding, just high quality, well thought out, well executed games, and they don't sell that much. I mean, the company is still successful somehow. I would be really interested in figuring out how that works. But they earn my money, and I'm not going to deprive them of that. So yeah, that's where I stand on PS Plus for October.
Cool. Well, A-Dub, did you see anything else that caught your eye?
Yes, one thing in particular caught my eye is that Gran Turismo's celebrating selling 100 million units across the franchise, and Gran Turismo 7 is getting a new update. It's called Spec 3. It's going to be out this December. Some of the things it's adding are including two new F1 race circuits, eight new cars, New circuit experience, data logger feature. I guess people, the real gearheads who get real data driven about their lines, all the real racers, they probably want that. So maybe I'll mess around with it. And it says more, some little hints that they provided in the trailer was it showed the collector level go beyond 50. As people who play Gran Turismo 7, you probably know that 50 is the max level for the collector level, and that's just the point equivalent of the cars that you have in your stable. So like I think it's, well, the point formula doesn't mean anything, but you get to level 50, that's when you open up the ultimate parts selection that you could put in cars, with like carbon fiber propellers and like high-end turbos and things like that. It's been a while since I played, so forgive me. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what awaits beyond collector level 50 and what comes with that. It looks like they're also removing the expiration dates from invitations. I know that was a big complaint in the community. It's like you're giving me this invitation to buy this car, but it's millions of credits, and I just don't have the time to get that kind of currency before this thing expires. So I'm gonna miss my chance to get that. So they're not gonna have expiration dates. That's pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing the full list of what the Spec 3 update offers. AMC, you think this is enough to get you into the wonderful world of automobiles?
Nah, that's not enough. But
God damn it.
yeah, cool to see the announcement here. And yeah, like, great to see that they're still supporting it as the game that when it came out at launch, there's just a lot of talk about like how much like the cars cost and whatnot to
Yeah.
unlock and then just all the stuff with the always online. But knowing that the game is just still going strong, it's found its community. Well, not found, it already had its community, but its community is stuck around. They're still having their esports tournaments, and yeah, as you said, they're still updating the game. So that's what you like to see, because that's we know that Gran Turismo has come out few and far between. They don't like launch all the time, and with the current age of, I mean, people complain about it, but the beauty of games being able to be updated is that you can now just continually add, like, update your Gran Turismo game as opposed to getting it and you're just kind of stuck with that game, with that base version of Gran Turismo for
Yeah.
like a decade or whatever, however long it takes for the next one to come out, especially when they're doing like sport and all that stuff in between. So, yeah, I'm just happy to see that they're still updating the game and that they said that they surpass 100 million units in the series. So it seems like just continued success for the Gran Turismo franchise.
Hell yeah. Well,
Let's see.
AMC.
Yeah, so the thing that caught my eye here isn't necessarily something that I want, but it was interesting. We saw that PlayStation is getting wireless speakers, ADEM, for your
I thought
by
you were going the other
Sony.
way with
Nah.
it.
Let's see. So, just the IGN write-up. Sony revealed its own branded wireless speakers called the Pulse Elevate, and they're designed to use with PlayStation 5 or a desktop PC gaming setup. Don't let that deter you though, as they can also work with PlayStation Portal or even your smartphone if you so choose. They come as a pair in both midnight black and white, and feature a built-in microphone with AI enhanced noise rejection, so you can even use these in voice chat. So you can be
Damn.
talking to your
It's
speakers. But yeah,
ignore
it
it,
just
bro.
caught my
No
eye just
headphones on.
yeah, like it caught my eye just because of the presentation of it. And you they haven't Sony hasn't fully just leaned into the PC aspect of gaming. Like they're sitting in the games, but they still want you to get that console. But it was fun watching this one and seeing just at the end, the final shot was a PC, and it like had the it had like the controller, the PlayStation controller. It had the speakers, and like all this other shit. And I was just like, this is it's like literally they have everything set up for you to play on a PC, and it didn't look bad. It was like a whole rig that they had going on. But yeah, like you could be totally Sonied out on your PC playing, I guess. PlayStation games the way you so choose.
The way God intended.
Updating your DLS and all that shit. But yeah, so it was funny to see that. But also, like, yeah, cool. Like, you could be on your portal. You could have your speakers going instead of having your headset. You could play your music through it. So, like, Sony just bringing in more and more accessories to enhance, like, the overall presentation. Like, kind of reminds you of Apple when Apple just rolls out all their products to, like, all just play with each other and be used over each other. It seems like that's the route that Sony's going in. Yeah, we'll see how I want to see how people react to it, because they tend to bring a certain quality with their products. So I'm interested to see if people start, like, using this for their PC gaming on top of that. What did you think of the Sony speakers, A-Dub?
Pretty cool. I think, when I'm old school man, so when I'm thinking of PC speakers, I get that same image of those two little fucking gray boxes with the dials on the front, like that kind of thing, with the built-in subwoofers, that big hole in the front. But these look pretty cool. I was most impressed with the alleged portal functionality. I'll have to wait and see how people use them, in the real world. But insofar as how they have it, you're just playing the portal, you got the speakers on your nightstands or something, and it's now you got speakers for it. And I think that was the coolest thing, because it's like you can have that game like in your hand right in front of you, but then you have the sound around you, which is it's an interesting intersection between the console experience and the handheld experience. So these are cool. I'm more than likely not gonna add these to my collection. I think I have a Sony television. I think the sound is dope out of there. I also upgraded my headphones, and I'm getting just even better sound from those. So my audio solutions are taken care of. But this would be dope for people. I'm gonna be interested in the reviews and see how people feel about them when they actually get them in their hands.
Is there anything else that caught your eye, Adam? We can get to the big
Anything.
one if there's nothing else.
Yeah, I'm just let me scroll through the list. Let me scroll through the list. I'm looking at Gran Turismo. I don't want to do that one. I do want to mention Chronoscript, The Endless End. So this was a probably the most unique thing that was shown at the showcase. It's a 2D side scroller. The developers made a point of describing it as like an exploratory action adventure game rather than what it looks like it could have been, which is a Metroidvania. So I think it's something different. So I'm not going to attach labels to it that even the developers themselves aren't quite using yet. But this one, like, imagine the Plucky Squire, but gritty. So you're this dude, I guess you're like this little ink dude, and he looks just so hood, so thugged out, just all black with the eyes always looking at you for guidance. And yeah, it's just so much style. Like it looks like you're playing in the world that the deck of cards is drawn from. And within that, like you're going through these levels, but you're going through them on loose pages that have ink and illustrations all over them. And like wherever the ink touches, you can travel through it to different pages. And then you're dealing with all the challenges and things that are in there, including things like they had a segment where rats were running across the desk, and that's part of the obstacles that you have to navigate. The pages get blown off the table and reshuffle, and it's full of interesting ideas. It looks like it's going to offer a decent amount of challenge. It has that cryptic, mysterious vibe to it that I'm very into. So I'm gonna keep an eye on this just to see how it turns out, and if it's somewhat decent, I might consider adding that to the library. AMC, how did you feel about Chronoscript, The Endless End?
Yeah, it looked dope. It's not really a genre, but like I guess an art style genre, but I am liking like this book influence that we're seeing in games. Like as you mentioned, Plucky Squire. The other week we were talking about, was it Nintendo with that Yoshi game and how like they were working
Yes.
like the book into it, and it had like a very illustrative like look to the animations. And then yeah, we get to this game and just the I liked how it worked. The presentation of the book worked into it, as you said, like with the as you're playing, it looked like the pages were like following shit like that. So you're like navigating that while also pushing through, like I guess that part of the game, which in a way creates its own set piece from that standpoint, because that's you will definitely remember your screen, your map kind of like moving and shuffling around as you're trying to play through it. So there are things like that where that's what caught my interest, is like how much of that stuff is in it, because I know that that stuff is going to be super memorable as you play through it. So it seems to have all the moments that you would want from a game like that, while having, I guess, like the exploration that you would want in, I don't know if it's like a Vania or if it's what type of like game it is, but it seemed like there's a lot of exploration, as you mentioned, with like moving through the ink to the different pages. And so if you need to use that to then navigate the book to get around, that will be interesting in itself. Or if you'll just be pushing forward through the pages, maybe it won't necessarily involve like a lot of backtracking, who knows. But I'm interested. I like the presentation, the overall look of it, and the combat. And now to get the I guess to get an understanding of the complete layout of the game will just I think fill in that final piece of the puzzle. But I liked what I saw, and that was definitely one of those ones that, oh yeah, like keep an eye on it, see what people say about it when it comes out, and if I have the right window for that where I'm not playing anything, that could definitely be a game that I'll purchase when it drops. That's all I got there. Anything else, A-Dub, before we move on to the next game?
Nah, we keep the party moving.
All right, well, I'm gonna get to the big one. We
Yes.
finally we talked about it last week. The rumors are out. People were saying it will be in the next state of play.
Greg Miller
Wolverine.
bought Claws.
Yeah, people were highly anticipating it. It would have actually been a little upsetting if they had this state of play, and we didn't get to see Wolverine. Especially in this state of like, we can't rely on games that are announced coming out. So yeah, we did get to see gameplay. We got to see a big reveal of some of the story stuff going on. So I'll just read IGN's write-up. So Marvel's Wolverine was the big finale for today's state of play, and we not only got to an extended look at a very violent gameplay filled with blood and people being ripped apart, but we also got a fall 2026 release window and the confirmation that Liam McIntyre will be playing Logan. Yes. The gameplay footage showed off Logan both in and out of his very classic looking suit, riding on a motorcycle, traveling to different locations, encountering Mystique, Omega Red, and a Sentinel, and so much more. While we wait a bit for the game to come out in the wild, Insomniac did confirm we'll see the game again in the big way in spring 2026. Yes, this game looked vicious, brutal. It was great because they showed the trailer, and then they went back to talk about the game, and through that we got to see the trailer again and just certain unique parts. And like as they were talking about the brutality of it, there's just one dope like scene, is obviously like a cut scene, but he goes and he like takes out one enemy as he's turning around, kind of like does like a bass back fist swipe to the guy's leg, slices off the leg, and then comes up with the other hand with an uppercut and just stabs right through the guy's like chin, like up through the top of his head. And it was just like, this game is going to be vicious, it's going to be brutal, it's going to be visceral, and everything that you would expect from a Wolverine game, it's all there. So I love that. I wasn't too concerned that they were going to pull punches, but seeing that they did make Spider-Man, I wasn't sure how family friendly they were going to make this game. And I like that they're heavily leaning into the mature side of it with the combat. Like the cameos I saw, we got Omega Red, who's always a
Yes.
favorite villain of Wolverine. Seeing Mystique in there will be interesting to see what part Mystique plays within the game. And also love seeing all the different settings. We had talked about like what we were anticipating, what we wanted to see in a Wolverine game, and knowing that Canada plays a big part in Wolverine's past and also Japan, it's nice to see that you will be going to those locations. So it definitely answers that question of if it's just going to be one big open world, or are we going to be getting like pockets of I guess open areas to go through. And it seems like it's going to be leaning more towards that, and that's cool because at least we get the different locations and the different settings that will play a big part in, I guess, setting up the atmosphere of what you'll be going through. And just some of the fight scenes look dope, fighting in an alley, going back and forth between enemies. Yeah, it's and then the different looks, like I like that we get to see Wolverine in the costume, but we also get to see Wolverine just in the leather jacket and the cowboy hat, like just trying to keep it low key, but you know, like it's always gonna pick up and get crazy. So yeah, it answered a lot of questions in all the right ways. As a person who played Spider-Man, absolutely loved it, and then skipped Miles Morales and Spider-Man 2, there was a part of me that was like, all right, like I'm hoping Insomniac does something that gets me excited to jump back into their Marvel universe. And seeing this trailer is like, oh yes, this is definitely different from Spider-Man. And through that, like it's going to feel unique, even though it's still an Insomniac game. And so because of that, I can't wait to jump in. What did you think of Marvel's Wolverine when you saw it, Ada?
I mean, it was like they read my mind, and we, like you said, we talked about it last week. All they needed to do was capture the magic and the combat of what was X-Men Origins Wolverine, give us multiple locations to bring to life his travels, his experiences, his missions, and give us just that tight, intimate setting where the combat can be more visceral, involve more environmental kind of stuff, and just be a just flashy, high quality Wolverine experience. And that, by all accounts, looks like exactly what we're getting. You know, we're getting so many flavors, as you noted before, with the skins and the different outfits, all the way up to the yellow suit Wolverine riding a motorcycle. Like, now we get to think about the big questions, like how many areas, like how much freedom are we going to have to use the motorcycle, or is that just a vehicle for like a chase sequence or a set piece of that nature? And by the way, the set pieces and the chase scenes of that nature looking phenomenal. Every time I look at the trailer, I catch another detail. Like during the trailer, multiple times they show you Wolverine digging his claws into like a wall or something to slow his descent. And he's doing like a claw slide toward the end with the yellow suit on near this big vat of lava. And he also just kicks an enemy off the wall into the lava. So it's looking like perhaps it, like there's going to be some overlap with gameplay, or perhaps just their visual style is so amazing that it just looks indistinguishable from the cutscenes. But the main thing that really has me excited about the game, now that we know the form factor and the look of it, is the way combat seems to evolve. Like there are just cannon fodder enemies out there that Logan is just hacking up like slaughtered cows. But then you see that as he's fighting more advanced enemies, they're more cybernetic, or they have on more armor. So then they're taking more hits and bigger combos to finish off. And then you eventually reach a point where he's being held in the air by an almost completely robotic enemy and just hacking away at this thing's neck. And you're just like, he's not losing his grip. That arm's not coming down. So there's definitely going to be some higher level challenges. And that's the kind of stuff I'm excited about, because then we'll really get to see that combat system at work. And the next thing I have to see to really get an idea of the game is to see like someone play with a little bit of restraint, only using the necessary moves and showing how clean combat can be. Like if they can have a good showcase of that nature, I think that will do a lot to convince people about this game. But I'm already convinced. This is the day one for me, and I cannot wait. Fall 2026 can't come here soon enough.
All right, do you have anything else on this showcase, A-Dub, before we keep it moving?
Well, I don't, but I think there are a handful of people that do.
Yeah.
They got opinions, they got voices, they need to be heard. We got Troll of the
Troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of
Week,
the week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week, week, week, week,
Week, Week.
week.
Week, week, week. So today's trolls are coming sideways at Sony's State of Play for reasons unknown, because that was a fantastic show. But let's see what the trolls got to say about it. First troll says, "No Bloodborne update. Trash State of Play as usual."
The
This
only game
dude,
people care about.
the only one still holding on, like Silksong passed the baton to Bloodborne. Is like, it's all you now, buddy. Next troll says, "Worst State of Play ever. I need a new God of War." Well, that's pretty vague. You might end up getting another Ragnarok when maybe you wanted another God of War 3. I don't know. So be more specific next time. Next show says, "State of Yawn." Next show says, "Maybe I'm just not into games as much anymore because there wasn't a single game shown that I go out of my way to spend money on. I think after Ghost of Yote and GTA 6, I'm going to retire from gaming."
Retire.
Retire.
Ugh.
Gonna be playing GTA 6 for the rest of his life. Retired. Next show says, "So basically nothing."
Yeah.
Oh, God, got
Saw Wolverine and saw us and said, yeah,
yeah.
none of this interests me.
Saros at the beginning of next year. Wolverine at the end of next year. Cobain for your anime titties. Everything you need, all in one show. Now they have some good stuff, man. Gotta open up your mind, open up your perspective. Unlike this next troll who says, "Bunch of piss in a bucket, to be honest." Next troll says, "This has been one of the worst state of plays yet, and that is saying something."
Wow.
It's saying something about you. Next troll says, "That was the most underwhelming state of play in a long time. Saros looked good, but other than that, it was shit." And last troll says, "Ass show." I don't know, man. I mean, if Saros and Wolverine together aren't enough, if either of those individually is not enough, you just don't like games. That's the only place we're arriving at here, man. It's like, if you're still complaining with the PS Plus offerings on top of that, Cocoon, highly rated game, highly praised. Alan Wake 2, one of the most celebrated survival horror games. Remedy killing it with the production quality. None of it moved you, not even just a little bit in your heart. Yeah, I can't associate with people like this, man. You're just gonna suck all the joy out of everyone around you. Not me, not today. AMC, you got any words for these trolls?
I mean, if you Wolverine is easily one of the most highly anticipated games, and so if you finally got that and you walked away with like, nothing here, then I don't know that you really must not be into games because that's literally the thing that everybody was waiting for, was what's going on with Wolverine? When are we going to see more of Wolverine? And we finally got that. And then on top of that, Saros looks dope as shit. And then there are a ton of other games. Not necessarily every game was for me, but the big ones that I wanted to see as far as PlayStation's non-live service offering, we got to see those. And we know that we have two big ones coming next year. So yeah, I don't know what your shit. What you're complaining about, but we just let him complain, let him cry, let him die out. He does.
Troll of the
Troll of the
week,
week,
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 troll
week,
of the
week, week.
week, 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 week. I have one complaint about the state of play, specifically the Wolverine trailer. Just one complaint. There's a scene where it's just like like someone's back with that white armor on, and you see Wolverine's claws bust through the person's back from the front. But then Wolverine pulls the torso in half, and it just splits down the middle. And it's like, that's not how that works. Those claws would have just come out the side. But you gotta give a little freedom for artistic expression. Like, I get what they were going for, but the way that happened was not the way that that happens.
It's like gore for
That's
the sake of gore.
exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's not what would happen physically, but that's what we want to happen to convey his strength. Like, he's just so strong.
The body
That's
just
like,
fall apart in his presence.
yeah, but the game's gonna be phenomenal. It's gonna be great, like playing a great Wolverine game again. Because with X-Men Origins Wolverine, it was like, holy shit, they finally did it. It's right. And this is a Wolverine game that I'm not only enjoying, but something that I want to complete, something that I want to master, something I want to get stylish with. So it looks like Insomniac learned from those lessons and learned from the example of X-Men Origins Wolverine. I can see a lot of it in what they're doing with this game, and I couldn't be happier. So it's awesome. We know what it looks like. We know when it's coming. It's real. It's got box art. So, yeah. Now we can get to the next stage of imagination, where we start thinking about all the things that can go wrong. No, we don't do that here. Control issues. We'll save that for troll. But yeah, AMC, we got any more topics?
Yeah, we'll take a break and we'll come back with our final topic of the week.
Top
Top
topic of
topic of
the
the
week.
week. All right, we are back, A Dub, with the next topic of the week.
Top topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week. Yeah, so I wanted to briefly discuss this. Xbox had their Tokyo Game Show showcase. We're just going to do the top things, and by doing the top things, I'm going to list off, except for one notable one, just the focus on Japan. Like, it's one thing to just go there and have a show in Japan, but the fact that they incorporated so much into their games from Japan moving forward, just based, I don't know if it's just based off of this showcase or just, the demands of the community that they wanted a greater Japanese presence from Microsoft when it comes to the Xbox. And so yeah, like they've definitely heard it. We've heard some games coming over last year with like Persona 3, and some of the relationships that they were setting up with Atlus and other companies from Japan. And with this showcase, they're showing a lot of content actually from Japan that's being added into their game. So I'm gonna just quickly run through some of them. One, we saw an update to Age of Mythology Retold. It's going to get its next expansion. Heavenly Spear takes players to Japan, where they'll encounter a new gods, new monsters, new powers, a new story, and more. 12 brand new mission campaigns focusing on Yusuko, a farmer's daughter who takes on a new destiny when she discovers a magical spear. As war looms and chaos spreads across the land, Yusuko must uncover the relics, secrets, and prevent it from falling into the hands of the Kamigasa, or Kagemasa, a ruthless warlord who seeks to imprison the sun goddess Amaterasu, and claim godhood for himself. Let's see, Call of Duty Black Ops, they went into details there. There's going to be a location, so one of the maps is going to be in Japan. Toshin
Oh,
offers a look at 2035 Tokyo, combining well-defined lanes and some really fun set pieces, including a cat cafe, a karaoke bar, and a crash train. Let's see, and then we'll skip over that one. Flight Simulator.
yeah.
A Japan World update and a new locale legend revealed. Let's see, regions included add major Japanese cities like Hiroshima, Kyoto, Osaka, Sapporo, Tokyo, as well as five new highly detailed handcrafted airports and 67 new points of interest, including Osaka Castle, one of the most important historical locations in Japan, Fukuoka Tower, the tallest seaside tower in Japan, and more. So yeah, and I believe the Ninja Gaiden, I believe that takes place in Japan as well. So yeah, they're just pointing out how a lot of their games, I don't know, a lot of their first party games are going to be having additional Japanese content added to them over the next year. So I thought that was a pretty cool way to ingratiate yourself within the region to appeal to that base. Ada, what do you think about all this Japanese content coming to first party Xbox games?
It's an excellent show of good faith. It's an excellent gesture. So, keep it up. Japan is a hotbed of talent and creativity. So the big platform holders need to continue to tap into that, man. There are a lot of voices in gaming, and Japan is one of the oldest, and they still have a lot to say. So I'm glad to see Japan getting the honor, the reverence, and the respect they deserve, and people just getting a broader array of content to choose from and enjoy across more games. So things just keep getting better, right?
Yes. All right. What else you got, Adam?
Well, I feel like I finally nailed down why I'm not into Ninja Gaiden 4. And it's the level design, dude. When I think back to the first Ninja Gaiden on Xbox, it had actual levels. It had an actual world. Like there were set pieces, there was an environment. There were like steps and staircases and hills and tunnels and things of that nature, walls to run on, tight confined quarters, and it moved and it flowed and it just made things feel even better just having those sharp, precise ninja controls. And then you get to Ninja Gaiden 4 and like all the action that they're showing off takes place in these just big empty boxes that might have a little bit of set dressing and some visual aspects on the floor. But by and large, it's just big empty rooms and you're just whooping everybody's ass. So yeah, that's. Unless I see like some actual level design and stuff and environments, I don't think Ninja Gaiden 4 is the one for me. How about yourself, AMC?
Forza Horizon 6 will take place in Japan in 2026. Let's see. So this had been rumored, speculated, and pretty much all damn near announced up to this point. So we finally got it announced officially. Forza Horizon 6 closed the show by announcing that the beloved open world racing series will return in 2026. This time, taking players to the breathtaking landscapes of Japan. A teaser trailer gave us callbacks to each of the previous games before giving us a taste of the gorgeous new world we'll be exploring, with Mount Fuji dominating a landscape that includes serene waters, urban environments, and cherry blossoms flutter in the breeze. So, yeah, they said that more information will be coming in 2026. This game will arrive in 2026. So, all we saw was this was purely a teaser trailer, just to we're in Japan, so let's make this announcement now. But yeah, I cannot wait to see, just knowing the detail they go to in their locations. And we saw like Mexico was an extremely popular one, and the Horizon games have only gotten popular. And you also see this detail within like games like Flight Simulator, like how much they go into like really mapping out the environments and getting all the unique settings and monuments in within the game to really give you that feel that you're flying over Japan. And that brings me over to Forza Horizon, and there's just so much in within the world of like within the region of Japan, like the locations that are just so distinct and unique. And knowing that you'll be able to travel through that, like it'll be interesting to see like how the city travel will be like when you're in a place like Tokyo versus when you start to get out into the country, into areas like Mount Fuji, and how they'll kind of like work all of that into the experience. But it's such a unique environment and such a just a classic, just a lot of culture of Japan that you can bring into this game that I cannot wait. And also to also see the cars, because how the location pretty much got leaked was there is I guess a car, I don't know if it's a car dealership or whatever, but they had like unique cars to the region of Japan. They were like, "Hey, we just had some people coming over to scan our cars." And
Yeah, like
so,
it was a rare K car.
yeah. And so knowing that like they're even going to bring in like some of those cars that are very specific to the region as well, like I am super excited. Like, not since Tokyo Drift have I ever been excited about Japanese cars. And so, yeah, I cannot wait to see what they do, what classic cars they bring back for it. And it's going to be absolutely awesome. What do you think about the official announcement of Forza Horizon going to Japan?
I mean, Forza Horizon 5 won IGN's Game of the Year when it came out. It's still one of the most visually stunning games available. So the sequel then going a step further and bringing even more impressive visuals in a just culturally and architecturally rich region like Japan, it's a match made in heaven, man. So I'm very excited to get this. I just personally hope that there will be some races or at least a race in one of the many tracks that are in Japan, including the Tokyo Expressway. Japan's rich in car culture, rich in car history. So there's a lot that can be celebrated there, a lot that can be integrated. But man, I can't wait. Just cruising through the city at night. Oh my God, I can't wait. I cannot wait. So very pumped for this one. Looking forward to seeing more information. Yeah, you have my attention.
Yes. Do you have anything else, A-Dub, before we close it up for the day?
No, I think we're doing great, man. Tokyo Game Show, Microsoft came with it, State of Play, Sony came with it. I think Nintendo had a direct about a week or two ago. They came with it. So, great time to be a gamer. It only gets better. There's nowhere to go but up.
Yes. This is Control Issues. I am the AHC.
And this is our control issues. Thank you for playing.
Sucker. Sucker.